Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
Welcome to Christmas at the Movies. What I wanted to do is I just wanted to lay a little bit of a tone for the few weeks leading up to Christmas. And most of this for me started during my trip to Cuba. I'll tell you guys about that throughout the course of this message. But I wanted to let you know that the kids are partaking in this as well. And so At the Movies is a series that we do throughout the summer. We did it during the fall this year. And we're going to do it a little bit as well during the Christmas holiday. And so I feel like God's given me a word. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to look beyond the movie, because honestly, I don't have as many movie clips as I have in the summer. I actually feel like I have better content, because I feel like the Holy Spirit was talking to me and wanted me to download something to you so that as we go into this Christmas season, we don't miss it. Are you with me? So the verse that I'm actually going to read is going to come out of left field. It has nothing to do with Christmas. Nothing whatsoever. The movie has everything to do with Christmas. I'm not even really going to preach about the Grinch. I just want to pull a couple of things out because I felt like the Lord wanted me to deal with some of your stuff today. Is that all right? Now, if you feel anything, you can say amen. I'm cool with that. Last week, Taisha preached, and we were in a time of peace until she said what she said, which was this is going to be better than his. And so I heard that. While I was ministering in Cuba, I was in the presence of the Lord and she was preaching in the flesh. And so I just want y'all to know that I've been in the third heaven, just like Moses. And so the glare that you see is not the lights. It's because I was in the presence of the Lord, because I realized that while I was apart from my boo, she was in the flesh. I was in the spirit. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. You know the Lord's still working on me. Genesis chapter 4. 1-7, I'm going to read it fast. I'm going to pop in and out of the verse. I'm going to give us two thoughts, which you'll find on your sermon notes. We'll show another clip, and then we'll get somewhere. Is that all right? Are you expecting from the Lord? I just want to let you know, as a pastor, I can give you a motivational speech without getting into my Bible. Okay? Because I've been preaching for a long time, I can fake it. But here's the thing. I've spent some time with the Lord. And so if your expectation goes higher, the Lord will speak to you. Are you with me? So let's move past a motivational speech of what feels good. I'm looking for life change this morning. All right? So here's what it says. Genesis chapter 4, 1-7. It says, now Adam had relations with his wife. He knew his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, with the Lord's help, I have produced a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, and Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of the crops as the gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs, except Cain and his, oh, I'm sorry, the firstborn of his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked. Why do you look dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and master it. Give you context. Cain, Abel, sons of Adam and Eve. Here's what I really enjoyed when I read this scripture is that God still met with Cain and Abel face to face the way that he met with his parents. God had removed Adam and Eve from his presence, the garden, put them on the outside, but God didn't keep his presence away from his family. So he goes up to Adam, or he goes up to Cain and he goes up to Abel. He says, thank you for your gift. Cain gives the gift. God says, ooh, there's something about what you gave that doesn't feel right. The thing that Abel gave, God was like, great job. Cain gave something to God, but his heart wasn't focused on what he was giving to God in the proper manner. So God wasn't looking at his gift. God was looking at his heart. So God addressed him right away, because it leads me to believe that God had always been talking to him, because it says that God goes up and says, yo, what's the matter? Why are you frustrated? Why are you angry? And then he tells him this. He says, now listen, if you don't deal with what you got, the enemy is waiting outside of the doorway because this is what happened with your parents. The enemy's waiting outside for you to keep hold of what you're frustrated with, and then he's going to pounce. But if you respond to it right away, you will have victory over it. This morning, the movie that we're going to be focused on is The Grinch. There's some things that I want to dive into. And the first thing is this. You can write this down. Is that pain doesn't justify our actions. Pain doesn't justify our actions, because when you read the rest of the story, Cain grabs his brother. He's like, yo, man, let's go hang out, man. Let's go throw the football around. Let's go grab some chicken wings. And Abel goes out, hangs with his brother, and next thing you know, he finds himself dead. So many times the pain that you and I experience will produce an action. And that action will be justified by you and I because of X, Y, and Z. But I want to let us know, as the foundation of where we're heading this morning, is that pain won't justify our actions. Why? Because God was on the outside saying, hey, I just want you to know the enemy's targeting you. And if you don't deal with your pain, it will be painful. Here's the second thing. Is that, and I've said this before in times past in other messages, is that hurt people, oh, y'all already know this one? Hurt people. We don't think it does, but there is an impact. It's amazing that pain will cause us to isolate ourselves. The pain of yesterday can become the pain of today, and then pain just becomes who we are. See, in the movie The Grinch, he experienced something, and the pain became who he was. In Genesis chapter 4, Cain experienced something, and the pain became who he was. See, undealt pain will try to give us justification for our actions. Now, I went to Cuba this past week, and while I was traveling to Cuba, I packed because I was going to Cuba. Now, I was going to Cuba for 2 days. I flew in on Sunday, and I was flying out early on Tuesday. And so, can you help me with this, David? There you go. Pull that up for me. And so I was going to say we would have to practice this at home. Thank you. Thank you, man. So I flew into Cuba, and when I flew into Cuba, I had packed everything that was needed for the trip. I had never been there before, and I was traveling with some people that had been there. And so I wanted to make sure that I had everything that I needed. So I had my book bag, and then I had my luggage. And I noticed that when I was bringing my luggage, because I had my essentials, my non-essentials, like my Bible, and I had my headphones, and I had my iPad because I needed my Netflix because they download now. I don't know if y'all knew that. And so I needed that because I was in a place where I had never been before. So I had my non-essentials, I had my essentials, I had my clothes, my toothbrush and stuff. And then I had my protectants, like bug spray and water and Advil and Imodium. I had my essentials. I had my non-essentials, my Bible, which is essential, of course, but it's a book. Let's just say I have books, my headphones, my Netflix, iPad, computer. I had all that. And so I was walking, and then the guys that I was with, I was walking, I was like, hey, how you doing? And they looked at me and said, man, we're only going to be here for 2 days. And I said, no, I'm good. And what they had was they had a backpack. And what they had brought were the essentials. But I had my essentials, my non-essentials, and then I had my protectants. And so I got to Cuba, and I realized that they were ready to go, and my bag, I was still waiting for my bag. Because what I had packed wasn't really essential for the trip, but it was comfortable for me. And so when I got to my destination, I realized that guys who had been there before were carrying lighter items. But me, I brought my baggage. Because I felt like my baggage needed to go with me. You with me? So I brought this baggage that was non-essential, but some of it was to protect me. But it really wasn't essential for the trip. But the guys who had been to the destination before had realized that they didn't need to bring the non-essentials or the protectants. They just need to bring the essentials. So when I was reading Cain and I was reading about Abel, I realized that Cain could have left the non-essentials. But he decided that the essentials, but the non-essentials were part of his protectant. So he decided every day after God was a little disappointed with him that he needed to carry his baggage around. So many times, you and I, every day of our life, we're carrying things around. because they are non-essential, but we feel like they are, or they are our protectants. And so we carry them around. Meanwhile, people who have been to the destination before are carrying lighter things. And we ask God questions like, well, how come they? What about them? It's because sin is at your doorstep trying to take you out. You deal with it now, and you won't have to deal with it later. But if you don't deal with it, it's going to consume you. And so I find myself in Cuba, like, hold up, wait a second. And they're waiting for me. It took 45 minutes to get my bag after we landed. And the guy who was with me, he was like, yeah, man, this time I brought something with me because I was going to leave it here. He says, but normally I just travel with this. And it dawned on me as I was preparing for this week, I felt like the Lord was saying, Damon, you can preach as much as you want, but there are people who are going into Christmas with a grinchful spirit because they got baggage. And they're comfortable with overpacking. When I'm trying to get them to a destination, they want to bring all of this stuff with them, not realizing that that's slowing them down. And it's going to cause them to not enjoy their experience to the fullest capacity because they're waiting on their bag. So I'm sitting there waiting on my baggage. Meanwhile, the guys are an hour ahead of us because they packed light. The goal of what I want to preach on this morning is I want you to travel light this Christmas. Pain doesn't justify action, but we pack it all the time. And we bring it. Some of you brought it to church. You brought offense. You brought unforgiveness, unanswered prayer. I'm mad at God. But you dragged it with you because you're going to church. It may have caused you to move a little bit slower this morning. It's hard to worship God, and you're like, why don't I get mine? Well, sin is out at the doorstep. But Damon, you don't understand my pain. Pain doesn't justify my actions. So I was dragging this around in Cuba, and this is what the Lord wanted me to drop down here. Here's some keys to traveling light. Leave the protectants and non-essentials. I know this sounds really deep, doesn't it? Spiritually deep right there. Let me give you a Greek definition for leave. Leave it. Don't take it with you. It's simple. Like, honestly, leave the non-essentials and the protectants. We have our own protective mechanisms. Think about it. You go through something in a relationship and you say, I'm never doing that again. Well, you've already put up a protection and you've already told God what you're not going to do. So if God sends you that life-giving friend or that life-giving spouse, you're like, I am not open to that, because you're protecting yourself from the pain. So I want to just challenge you as we go through this Christmas holiday, in order to get what God has for us, we have to leave the protectants and the non-essentials. Here's some examples that the Holy Spirit told me. Non-essentials are the hustles of life. I got to get this. I got to do this. I got to run here. I got to do that. It's the hustles of life. You don't need to do that. You feel like you do, but you don't need it. Worry, stress, anxiety, offense, discouragement, non-essential. But you know what? Packing them. Do you know what I took? I took stress with me. I'm going to be honest. I took stress with me to Cuba. I took it because there's so many things I'm working on right now. But I packed it. And so the stress for me, that's the reason why I took my computer, because I had so much to do. So it wasn't essential for me to do it. Didn't even open up my computer, but I brought it because I felt like I had to do it. Yeah, so many times we pack worry, stress. And God says, if you're not careful, it'll consume you when you walk out the door. Have you ever been consumed by stress? How about did worry become stress and then anxiety, then depression? Why? Because the enemy only intensifies it. How about unforgiveness? Unforgiveness then becomes offense. Then you can't even stand being around them. Some of us live with that person that we can't stand. It's because we haven't dealt with the unforgiveness. Y'all all right? I'm just trying to get us to the right place. The protectants. Fear is a protectant. Isolation is a protectant. Anger, busyness, protectants. We pack them all. I get busy because sometimes I don't want to go home, because there's too much strife in my home, so I'm going to work. Or I'll borrow, because I want to live a particular life, because I feel like I have to get to this life. Or I'm just angry. The Bible says, check this out. You can be angry, but just don't sin. How cool is that? That God says, I know you're going to be angry. But Cain, don't sin. Let's deal with this right away. Fear. Fear is something that we'll put up because of the pain. The Grinch isolates himself because of the pain. He pushes himself so high, so isolated that he doesn't even want to deal with the people. Here's number two. If you're going to travel light, only carry the essentials. I know this is deep this morning. Only carry the essentials. Here's the essentials. Strength, healing, courage, God's promises, forgiveness, salvation. Carry Jesus himself. Ephesians chapter 6 says this. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you're going to pack anything, pack God's armor so that you'll be able to stand against all the struggles of the devil. For you're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against powers in this dark world, against evil spirits. He says, so if you're going to take something in your luggage, take every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist it when the time comes. He says, I want you to do this. Take a belt of truth. Then you'll need that for God, for the body armor of righteousness. Take some shoes. That'll be your peace. He says, then take a shield of faith, which quenches the fiery darts of the enemy, and then put on the helmet of salvation and carry the sword of the Spirit. He says, now listen, I want you to travel light, and I'm going to give you some things to pack with you. He says, pack a helmet, which is salvation. Jesus gave you salvation when he died on the cross. Above everything else, rest in the fact that you're free. Rest in the fact that what Jesus did for you is yours. You don't need to pack anything other than he did it for me. Pack the word of God. Because when the time comes, you're going to need something to strike against what the enemy does. Pack them Nikes with you. Pack the Nikes, because when you walk with the Nikes and you're running with the Nikes, the word of God is flowing with you. So that when you need to make a decision and you need to know where to step, let the word of God direct you. The Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet, my Nikes, and a light into my path. He says, go ahead and pack the shoes. Belt of truth. God is your word for me. If you have that belt on, you know I am. All the promises of God are yes and in him, amen. So if I'm dressed right, and if I got the essentials that God says pack, then I don't need to carry everything else. That's just a thought. Just a thought. So here, this is what lead me to this other thought here. Healed people become free people. Healed people become free people. If I'm packing what Jesus wants me to pack, then I don't need the baggage. I just need the essentials. And by carrying the essentials, he says in Ephesians chapter 6, that brings me victory. Because everything that I face is spiritual. Everything that you and I will face, the natural will attack, but it's all spiritual. Health in your body, spiritual. Something financial, spiritual. Can't get into the presence of the Lord, spiritual. Dealing with your mind, spiritual. Your boss person, that's the spirit. Spouse, spirit. Like last week, Taisha, I was like, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your peace in this home. No, I'm just joking. I love my girl. That's my forever girlfriend. We joke. But everything that you're dealing with is spiritual. And so the baggage that we carry, we think that we're carrying around the protectants, the non-essentials, and it's to our benefit, but really it's to our harm. Because what we do is we put those things in place, and it squelches the essentials that are required. So here's my thought. If healed people become free people, am I healed as of yet? Are you healed yet? Or is there a little something still in you? Because if there's a little something in you, going back to Genesis chapter 4, the enemy's outside of your door going, watch this one. I'm serious. Is there something that you haven't dealt with? And maybe you're like, well, no, I've dealt with it, but if there's that but to it, you haven't dealt with it. If while I'm preaching, you can think of something that someone else did, I wonder if you're healed yet. See, healed people become free people. We read that when Jesus does the miracle of the lepers. He heals them, yes, but the one person that comes back becomes free. You're healed. I can deal with it. But I don't know if I'd want the scar to be something that would produce something in me that would remember all the time. I want to be able to look at the scar, and that scar be something that I can tell somebody else about. So healed people become free people.
So if you watch the movie, Cindy Lou has been fighting for the Grinch the whole movie. All of Whoville wants nothing to do with the Grinch because his pain was being felt by others. But Cindy Lou was like, well, doesn't he deserve an opportunity as well to experience what we experience? And she fought for him the whole movie. Well, that at the beginning scene that I showed you said that his heart was small, and that's the reason why. In the scene that we just ended with, his heart begins to change because she literally has loved him back to life. Loved him back to life. And he's starting to care. And Christmas is starting to become something that he wants to enjoy, but he's struggling with it. And what you see when his heart starts beating out of his chest is the healing process that takes place. By the time he's done, he's a free person. And now he realizes that his pain had caused him to steal all the gifts, but now he needed to make sure that everyone in the town had the gifts back. Here's the thing that the Lord just wanted me to have us take note of as you take a few other notes, is that at some point we need to release our baggage. At some point. At some point, there has to be an end date to the pain, to the frustration, to the offense, to the discouragement. It has to end. Because year after year, day after day, we miss some of the most important moments of our life and some of the most important things that God wants to give us. Have you ever asked yourself, I have. Taking the bags to Cuba, here, honestly, I'm not just preaching this to you, but I'm telling you, when I was realizing that I was an hour behind and the guys were there waiting on us, I thought to myself, I wonder what I had missed because I'm an hour behind. Like, there was so much of Cuba that I didn't experience because I was weighted down with baggage. Meanwhile, these guys are there. And here's the other thing that I realized was that because I was carrying my baggage, they were waiting on me. You see what I mean? They had gotten to the destination, but I was a part of the group. So they had to wait for me because I was dealing with my baggage. See, my baggage has an impact on me, and my baggage has an impact on you. How many times have we thought about the fact that maybe my baggage is slowing down my destiny? It's slowing down my purpose. Then on the second hand, how many times have we thought about my baggage impacting you? This Christmas, I want us to travel light. I honestly felt like the Lord was telling me that there is some unresolved whatever in this room. And there needed to be some healing. And there needed to be some release. And that God wanted to take it. God wanted to take it. So the first thing that you can take note of is that you have to release your baggage. The second thing is that you have to carry his baggage. You have to carry Jesus's baggage. You have to carry Jesus' baggage. Like, honestly, the Lord was just dropping this to me, y'all. And if this seems crazy, I don't apologize. Because I feel like the Lord wants to do something in you. Matthew chapter 11, 28 says this. It says, come to me and I will give you rest. All of you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke, watch, wear my yoke, for it fits so perfectly, and let me teach you, for I'm gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your souls, and I only give you light burdens. You carry multiple bags, and everything that you're chasing after, it weighs you down, but what if you took my bag, and you carried my bag for a while? This is going to seem really crazy, but I asked myself this question, and I'm going to ask you. Can you imagine the baggage Jesus carries? Like, I know that sounds real cheesy, but can you imagine the baggage Jesus carries? Like, in my mind, I think of sometimes Jesus carrying all of my problems. But wait a second. Jesus is victorious, right? He took all of that on the cross. So everything that he carries is victorious now. Things that he carries are things that he wants to release. Are you with me? He carried everything on the cross. Everything that he carries now is victorious. But I think that he's just going to carry my problems.
He's seated in heavenly places, and the Bible says he's seated in victory. So the thing that he carries is victory. The bags that he carries is victory. But have I imagined how much of victory is he carrying? I wonder if he's like, I got all of this that I'm carrying, and no one wants to carry my bags. I've got peace with me. I've got grace with me. I've got strength with me. And I'm trying to exchange my bags for theirs, but they don't want my bags. I'm carrying my bags. I go from place to place, and I keep trying to remind them, in my bag is light. Why are you carrying your bag? Take my bag. My bag is lightweight. You're carrying more than what you should. I've already carried your bag. Give me your bag. Carry my bag. No, you want to keep your bag? That's fine. I'll go to the next person. Would you like my bag? Carry my bag. My bag is light, peace and grace and strength and healing. You want my bag? No, you don't want my bag. I'll try the next person. My bag is light. My bag is easy. Give me your bag. You're carrying too much. Would you like my bag? No, you don't want my bag. I wonder how many times Jesus is like, I got this bag. And nobody wants my bag. Here's what I realized. Isaiah 61. This is what he's carrying in his bag. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me, watch, to bring good news to the poor. He's bringing good news. When we feel like every report that we hear is negative, he's got good news. Listen, he says, I bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. I bring comfort with me to proclaim that the captives will be released from prison. They will be freed. He brings freedom. He brings a key. He says, he sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Have you ever been waiting like, Lord, when is my time? God brings with him. Jesus brings with him. This is your time. There is no delay. He says, I bring it with me. The day of the Lord's anger against your enemies. I'm bringing that. How many of y'all would like the Lord to step in on your behalf? Y'all are just listening to me. I'm preaching hard. I'm telling you that Jesus is packing. I'm not just reading scripture. I'm telling you that this is Jesus Christ. When you're dealing with your enemy, he says, I will take them out. He says, listen, if you've been stuck in a place of disappointment, I'm declaring to you that this is the year of my favor. This is what he's carrying that he's trying to hand off. He says, look, I'm going to comfort all those who mourn. I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. Instead of mourning, I'm going to give you the garment of praise. I'm giving you blessing. You're going to walk in righteousness. I'm going to plant you like tree for God's glory. He's packing beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for heaviness, comfort, peace, favor. I wonder what he's carrying that I never exchanged for. Final thought. Daily step towards his freedom. So I release my bags, I carry his bags, and I step towards his freedom. Why? Because free people, free people. Here's what I want us to do. All of us, maybe you're free 100%, and that's great. If you're free 100%, if there's nothing that you feel like you need to release, what I want us to do is I want us to pray for the people in the room that haven't gotten it yet. I've been praying for you all week because what I wanted to preach was going to be like, yeah, but I felt like the Lord wanted us to deal with some stuff. It's been too long. It's been too long. And the enemy's standing outside going, wait until I get you tomorrow. I got you. And there are things that the Lord wants us to travel with. His blessing, his favor, his comfort, his peace. His praise, his renowned fame, his glory, his strength. But he wants us to hand over our baggage. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you just a minute. On your sheet of paper, I want you to write down the thing that has been your opposition, offense, hurt, abuse, person, unanswered prayer, angry with God. I don't really know. Cain was angry. He wasn't angry with his brother. He was angry with God, but he took it out on his brother. He was angry with God, but he took it out on his brother. God said, if you deal with this right now, we got it tomorrow. Cain didn't want to do it. The Grinch, for years, a little kid, got hurt.
said, I'm comfortable with just being myself, until he was an adult. But there was a girl who said, no, I'm going to love you back to Jesus. This morning, as pastor of City Place Church, I want to love you back to Jesus. I want to let you know that he's for you. You don't have to live another day with ever frustration. It may not be negative. Everything that we struggle with may not be negative. It might just be I'm holding on to an unanswered prayer. I don't really know. I just want you to write it down. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, Lord Jesus, take my stuff. I give it to you. And give me what you got.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.